reopen the hearing on PU 15-142. We had a short break, and Mr. Bielli, you're going to call another witness?
Yes, we call Charles Vincent.
Charles, can you spell your last name for me?
Last name is spelled V-I-N-C-E-T-T.
Okay. You've been in the room when I've given the perjury admonition?
Yes.
Okay. Would you raise your right hand, please? You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Bielli.
Thank you, Your Honor. Please state your name and address, business address.
My name is Charles Vincent. I work at 585 8th Avenue Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, T2P 1G1.
And by whom are you employed in what capacity?
I am employed by Pembina Pipelines. I'm a senior manager of engineering and construction.
And what is your brief review of your education?
I have a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering.
And what is your experience in pipeline construction?
I have 25 years of experience in design, project management, execution, and construction of oil and gas facilities, ranging from gathering lines to high pressure and large diameter inch pipelines, oil batteries, gas plants, and other gas and oil related facilities.
And what is your, with respect to this pipeline project, what are your duties?
I am the, I'm ultimately responsible for all capital expenditures within the conventional business unit, and I have the project manager that's on this job reports directly to me.
Okay. And so we're going to attempt to go through a number of the questions that have been raised today and provide responses. There were a few questions on the above ground facilities, and will they be located on private land?
Yes, they will.
And is that pursuant to an easement from the landowner?
Yes.
And these are valve sites, correct?
Yes. Would you like a brief description?
Sure.
There's a total of four sites, one at the beginning, one where it ties in, two in the middle. The two in the middle are 80 feet by 45 feet. They contain valve risers and valves, and then also monitoring stations, too, for the SCADA system.
And will any of these above-ground facilities emit noise?
Yes, it's about equivalent to a refrigerator humming.
Caused by what?
Caused by essentially the product passing through the pipeline as it comes above ground and then goes back down.
Okay. And there was a question, will any new roads need to be constructed?
Yes, these two sites will require access of anywhere from 100 to 200 feet. And those easements, I believe, are also procured.
Okay. And there was a question on depth of cover. Could you please respond to that?
Depth of cover will typically be 4 feet. At undeveloped road allowances and at water crossings, will go down extra depth to 6 feet.
And there was a couple questions on comparing the pressure of the existing line, the new line, which I believe is 2160. Could you please explain that?
So the West Spur lateral has a design pressure of 2160 PSIG. The line that we're tying into has a pressure of 1440 PSIG. At the tie-in location, we have overpressure protection and monitoring to ensure the pipelines are to code and that we will not have any overpressure scenarios. Also, at the One Oak location, the pumps that are being provided, moving the product by One Oak, have a maximum design pressure of 1,770 PSIG discharge. And also, due to the hydraulic situations that we have here and the product flowing, there will be a very remote chance of or no chance of overpressure.
Okay. There were questions on the construction process and how long that would take. Would you please elaborate?
Yes. Construction, we're planning currently from anywhere from 90 to 100 days. We have one spread, and that will be 150 to 200 workers. We will have two top soil stripping crews that will go out and do all the topsoil stripping initially, with the mainline gang following after that.
So certainly the goal at a minimum to get all the topsoil segregated prior to any freeze-up.
Yes.
There was questions on construction during wet weather. Could you please describe that?
Construction during wet weather, we have criteria for shutdown. Our main criteria is to avoid rutting and soil mixing. This will be a call of the construction manager and the environmental monitor that's on site. And in severe wet conditions, we will shut down. And we also have no rubber tired equipment on site that causes running rutting. All of our equipment will be tracked.
There were concerns expressed by Ms. Stauffer on dry conditions and potentially if a burn ban was put in place. What is your process with respect to fire retention or fire prevention?
Our contractor that we will eventually choose has to give us a fire protection plan that is reviewed and approved by, Pembina or the parent company. We also have water trucks on site, and also the welding vehicles will have fire extinguisher, and we also have a person that's dedicated to fire watch.
So you have a person on site who's dedicated
Yes.
for that purpose?
Yes, that's correct.
And a number of concerns expressed about reclamation and restoring the right-of-way to original condition as best as practical. What is the commitment of Vantage and Pembina Pipelines for reclamation?
So our plan with respect to this project is to ensure that we do not have any handling of topsoil that's frozen, and no mixing of subsoil and topsoil, and to make sure that we have proper separation of subsoil and topsoil.
And with respect to restoration of the surface, at least on the native grasslands, and that is a commitment for how long for to confirm proper reclamation? What's your commitment?
For the life of the pipeline.
That's the notes that I made of the questions that were raised. I may have missed a few, but I that would be my end of questioning for Mr.
Okay. Well, we'll go around and see what else we come up with. Mr. Schmidt.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Mr. Vincent. You said you've been in the pipeline industry for approximately 25 years. Is that correct?
24, yes.
24. Have you been involved with projects where they have trenched the entire project in the fall, so October, November, and while the trench was open, the ground has frozen? Have you ever been involved with that before?
Typically, no, because that's bad practice to leave a trench open. So what we're planning to do on our project is that trench will be open of a maximum of 24 hours, and then it'll be back filled. The only locations that it will be left open at are at tie-in points, and they'll be fenced and signed.
So, given your explanation of this, if the project was to start end of September, and you said your time frame was 90 to 100 days for the entire project, does that count the stripping and all that stuff?
So what our plan is to have two stripping crews that would go out and do the entire right-of-way to prepare us for our mainline construction. Okay.
So is there any potential that there would be topsoil and subsoil that would be extracted after the ground freezes based on the way you're describing this project?
No. The two crews that will go out first can easily make about a mile a day. And because we have two crews, they'll essentially cut it in half, get all the topsoil moved out of the way, so the probability of frozen soils is decreased.
I have no further questions.
Ms. Prescott.
No, Your Honor.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you, Mr. Vincent. I appreciate the commitments you just made in terms of the reclamation for the life of the facility and the commitment to not be handling frozen topsoil and to that there will be no mixing of the topsoil and subsoil. Just as a follow-up to Brian's questions, the first crew is the topsoil removal, and they are going out ahead of time, and they'll get all the topsoil off. But if I understand your time schedule, 90 days, 3 months, you still could be potentially digging the actual trench with the subsoil after the ground is frozen.
Yes, that's correct. So we have several contingency plans. Our preferred plan is to try to get it all done before freeze-up.
Mm-hmm.
We do have an unpreferred sort of criteria that we would work in winter conditions, which is not preferable. And our plan C, third contingency plan, is to essentially do all the mainline construction, bury the pipe with subsoil, leave the topsoil where it is, and then come back in the springtime and handle it properly when it's not frozen. So by doing that with our third contingency plan, we're able to finish the pipeline, properly test it, inspect it, commission it, and then we can come back when conditions are favorable and put the topsoil back when it's not frozen. So
Can you describe the second contingency, the unpreferred?
Well, the unpreferred would be as per the soil handling conditions that are in the application.
So you kind of summarize the other ones. Can you summarize that one as well?
That one would be, so if we did go with our middle plan, which is the unpreferred one, we would have to ensure that we handled the soils in a very timely fashion to ensure that there was no freezing or large clods or big chunks of frozen topsoil. So it is our least preferred method and our most risky. So we prefer our option A or C.
And C, so the second one, the unpreferred, you would remove the topsoil before it freezes, and you'd have to dig up the subsoil, the trench.
Yep.
And you'd have to dig it up, install a pipe, and get it back before it freezes.
So with the
subsoil, would you pulverize it, or what would,
so
you,
with
would you?
So with the subsoil being placed back, because we're having commitment to put it in 24 hours, typically it doesn't freeze solid,
mm-hmm.
because there's enough thermal energy within the subsoil for it to be properly pushed back without large clods of soil. And then the soil would typically, what they do is they pile it up, which is called roaching, and that provides a roach above the pipeline to ensure that it's proper depth of cover and that it's safe. And essentially it's not open, we can properly test it and inspect it. And then coming back in the springtime, it'll settle and thaw, and then we can do our proper reclamation.
Mm-hmm. If you're digging up the trench and it's already, some of it is frozen the first, 6 inches or so, what do you do with the frozen chunks? Do you pulverize them?
So what can happen if there is... Freezing usually typically happens on a right-of-way if we have a lot of traffic where frost gets called pounded into the ground. Typically, when we want to go in there, is that freezing maybe 2 or 3 inches, and we have to limit traffic along there to make sure that we don't pound frost. If we do incur frost, there's several methods of either ripping it with ripping the subsoil with a device that's put on a piece of equipment, or our equipment or backhoes have enough strength to go through the frost.
I see.
So our preference is not to get ourselves in a situation that, and you control that by not allowing a lot of traffic on the right-of-way to pound frost into the ground.
being a Canadian company, I assume you have a fair amount of experience with this.
Yes, we have used this successfully in farmland and in other areas, is that we have to deal with winter conditions. And our preference is in agricultural land that the subsoil can be easily handled by coming back in the springtime, and then it's best practice to handle the topsoil in the springtime.
Mm-hmm. Are there any certain regulation or restrictions in Canada or Alberta regarding winter construction?
The main driver that we have for winter construction for our company and for an industry is safety, number one, making sure that people are safe and the environment is safe. So with respect to regulations, they're depending on the permit that's released in where we deal in Canada. There are terms and conditions that are applied to the permit that's given to us for winter conditions around reclamation and clearing and also subsoil handling too.
Okay. I appreciate your patience in dealing with all of our reclamation questions today. It isn't any indication that I'm concerned more about your company than any others on reclamation issues. That's not the case. It's just an issue that is constantly in front of us. And the nature of our work, we're constantly having hearings and constantly having applications. So our approach is always evolving to make sure we have the best conversations with the companies, the landowners, and that we're constantly working to improve the final outcome. And so that's sort of the goal of all the questions I've been asking today. And some of it has been guided by a document that was produced and released this fall by NDSU, our state land grant university, and they produced a document called Successful Reclamation of Lands Disturbed by Oil and Gas Development and Infrastructure Construction. So it's sort of a North Dakota specific document of best practices and methods for reclamation on these types of projects. We're reviewing that, and we haven't fully endorsed it or embraced it or incorporated into any of our activities yet. But I would just like to call it to your company's attention and ask you to, if you haven't already or aren't aware of it, if you can review it and when applicable, use it as a guideline for your practices here. A lot of it is stuff you're probably already doing, but maybe there are additional pointers that could be used.
Yeah, Pembina would have no reservations by reading that document and instituting in our construction practices.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you very much. Yeah. And that concludes my questions.
Okay. Commissioner Christman.
I was surprised that Commissioner Fedorchak forgot to mention when she mentioned NDSU that they've won 4 consecutive national championships.
I always have a hard time remembering that for some reason.
Seems like it. Brian and I remember better always. Mr. Miller talked about the agreement that his cropland, after the topsoil was replaced, that it would be cultivated to a certain depth and then rocks of a certain size picked.
Yes.
And is that something that you would presumably, unless we have a very late frost, be doing in the spring, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And if we have a late spring or a wet spring, then all of a sudden you're going to have 40-some miles of this stuff to hurry and get done. If farmers get in their fields before you have your work done, do they get some kind of reimbursement for their lost crops and that you have to come back and finish up after they've already got their crops in the ground?
Yes, we've taken that consideration into our planning. Also of note, too, is that we have a vested interest in making sure the construction goes as safely and quickly as possible and returning the land back to its, you know, almost pristine state that we found it in. So we'll try to ensure that we won't have 47 miles of it left to do. We may have, you know, 15 or 10 or 12 miles of it to do too. So our intention is not to have all that land out of production.
Okay, and when you talk about a construction schedule, are you talking about construction days or calendar days, or do construction people work 7 days?
Yeah, so so we're planning 90 to 100 days, and then I believe those, I'm not exactly sure what the shift is. I'll have to check that. But it'll probably be 12-hour days, and then so many days working and then so many days off. So it's as per our construction calendar, not the regular calendar.
So if there's days off in the middle, those 90 to 100 days, are you saying could be 120 or 150 days?
No, that also includes the days off.
Okay.
Yes.
And so if things were getting cold early, you could actually change the schedule, work more days and
bring in more crews too.
Okay. No other questions. Thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Vincent, I have a couple of questions. I just kind of was, when you're talking about the size of the crew and the amount of the project, and you said you would have two crews removing topsoil, so would they start at opposite ends of the project, or how would that work?
So generally, a rule of thumb is they'd split it in half. So depending on, they would probably do the areas first where there's the most topsoil, and then the work would be split up accordingly.
And how much, do you have more than one pipe crew as well? I mean, how much open trench would there be at any given time?
Okay. So when the topsoil crew goes in, all they do is handle topsoil. They don't open trench. And then we have one mainline gang that's responsible for doing all the trenching. And the pipe will be open a maximum of 24 hours. And any locations that are left open, which is typically at tie-in points, will be fenced and signed.
So what length of string do they lay in the pipe at a time?
They'll do approximately 1 mile a day.
All right. I don't have any other questions. We'll go around again. Mr. Biel, any redirect?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Schmidt?
Nothing further.
Ms. Prescott?
No, Your Honor.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
No, Judge.
Mr. Christman? Okay. Thank you. You can sit down. Thank you very much for coming up here and helping us out with all that.
Your Honor, Mr. Biel? That concludes our case, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Schmidt, anything that the commission wants to present?
We have nothing to present.
Okay. How about exhibits? Are we good? And it doesn't sound like we're going to have any late filed exhibits.
No.
Okay.
The only thing I would ask, or I guess bring to the attention, is there's going to be a specific, like the SHPO letter and any other agency responses that you get with regard to the current route that aren't already included, that those be submitted to the PSC.
Yes.
So the SHPO letter?
The SHPO letter and any other agency responses that may come in with regard to the current route.
Do you see those as late filed exhibits? How do you want to handle that?
I guess it doesn't really matter. What would you prefer?
SHPO typically sends their letter directly anyway to the commission, but agency responses, we can, I guess, depending upon if we get any, we can file them. Can we handle it that way?
That's fine.
Okay. All right. Anything else? I guess I'll call it one more time. Is anybody a public comment? Anybody else out there that wants to speak up? Okay. So there's no public comment. Any closing remarks, Mr. Biela?
No, Your Honor. I'll prepare a findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, and submit that probably early next week.
Okay. Do we want to? Any closing remarks today, Mr. Schmidt?
Nothing.
Do you want to set a date for the findings of fact?
I guess that Mr. Biela's earliest convenience would be fine with us.
Okay, so let's say the end of next week?
Yeah, we'll have it in before then.
Okay. Okay, closing remarks from the commissioners. Chairman Fedorchak.
Well, I think we've had a good discussion today and covered a lot of important issues, and I appreciate the company's explanation of some of the intricacies of the ethane market and how that is laying out in Canada and how it relates to the supply that exists here. I'm hopeful long-term that there's more ethane that's stays in North Dakota, but I also understand there's plenty of ethane, so there should be plenty enough to go around. And so that's a separate issue from this, but it is an important issue for the long-term development of that value-added energy sector in North Dakota. Regarding this project, I think that, you know, we covered all the key information. I appreciate that you have 100% of the easements. I appreciate the company's commitment to the reclamation issues long term, to getting the line in before winter, to minimizing any of the negative impacts of potential winter construction, especially by taking the topsoil off ahead of time. And so I think a lot of the big concerns have been covered in and I look forward to, you know, getting the final information and getting you a decision as soon as possible. Thank you.
Commissioner Chrisman.
Well, you know, I do find this kind of an exciting project because over the course of the last few years, one of the things that we've heard about a lot from people, not only in the oil patch or even in exclusively in North Dakota, but from around the country and the world is that we need to reduce flaring. Here's an opportunity to make a marketable product out of something that many people look at it as being wasted in many cases when it has to be flared. Certainly making it a marketable product and providing a revenue stream for it enhances the ability to capture more of it from other wells and keep the process moving of reducing our flaring and of having mineral owners and such be able to make the kind of profits that they deserve. So in that way, I'm excited about it. Also excited about the project, as Commissioner Fedorchak mentioned, because of 100% of the easements acquired. In this day and age, especially in this area where landowner fatigue is definitely a reality, having accomplished that is certainly commendable, and I appreciate that. As always in these cases, or at least almost always, when we get public feedback, it ends up proving useful. Having it pointed out and so that we discussed the fire protection plan, I think was very important. Also some of the other issues with frost and we were able to question and hone down on the construction timeline and that sort of things and alternate plans if we have an early frost. So I think it's been a good hearing, and I expect we would probably end up doing a work session at some point and be awaiting the proposed orders, and I think hopefully we can make a decision relatively quickly, and I think that's all my closing comments at this point. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, anything else we need to do on the record, Mr. Biella?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Schmidt?
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Prescott?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. I want to thank everybody that was here today as well, and thank those members of the public that were here that did comment that have left early. I want to thank the company for letting me take a few of those people out of order. It helps for, I think, you to have an opportunity to hear what they have to say so you can react to it. I want to also thank you for your flexibility in bringing in a couple of extra witnesses you didn't plan to have to clear up a lot of the questions, and I think that helps your application in the long run to give us that kind of information that we can work with when the commission gets around to this. So I'm going to set August 21st, which is next Friday, for the filing of the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and proposed order. You can do that earlier, obviously, if you like. I'm going to close the hearing on the application of Vantage Pipeline for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit and waiver procedure, closing the hearing at about 20-1 Central Time. When the hearing's complete, the commissioners will take this under advisement, review, and ultimately make their decision. The transcript or record of this proceeding will be available within a few days on the PSC website. Case number PU-15-142 is adjourned, subject to the filing of any late filed exhibits.
Thank you very much.